everybody. Welcome to Buffy Speak. It is a beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous
day. Here in Sunnydale, California.
Mm-hmm. The sun is shining. The tank is clean. Amy is back.
The Hellmouth is closed. Oh, God, I don't want to talk about Amy. I don't want to talk about Amy either.
I've always said, I always say, people ask me all the time, daily. People stop me in the street, and they say, Beth, you, which women characters do you not like in Buffy? And I tell them, I like every single woman in Buffy except for Kennedy. It's not true. I also hate Amy.
First of all, Kennedy's amazing.
I know, she's the hero. No.
And
she's the hero of this episode for
what
sure.
What your major malfunction is. Where you dropped on your head as a child. Where do you have some sort of deep-seated issue that you want to go ahead and air out?
We've been talking about
She's cool. She's cool and she's gay, and I don't understand. Those are usually your only criteria.
I know, but you know what? I've been thinking about it more. I've been, like, confronting my dislike of Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think the reason I don't like her is because I think that her actor is very bad. I think if she convinced me more, then yeah. I would not have as much trouble with her as I do. Because this episode, she's good. Like, objectively, she's a chill person. For the most part.
I see what you mean. For the actress, I do see her pushing.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? Like, she's really pushing the performance, especially on certain lines where she's like, you're sexy when you pout.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Like, that's not, that's a straight woman.
Yeah. Patrick was like in the room while I was watching that, and she said that, and I was like, oh, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I like her. I like her, and I'll forgive all of it for the way that they're using her character. And I really liked this episode.
It was
interesting. I didn't say what episode. It's season 7, episode 13. The killer in me.
The killer in me. In this sense, it's Warren.
Right, the Warren that's inside
the
Willow.
Warren piece. Isn't that the name of a, hold on, that's the name of a comic book character, I think. Or a...
No, oh my fucking
it's
god,
from,
Beth.
It's from Sky High!
I know what it's from. I knew immediately whenever you said Warren
Sky
piece.
High.
You've never seen Sky High!
No! Caroline is looking at me like I killed her mom.
That's a really good movie.
I know. Really I've heard nothing but good things about it. And you know I love High School Musical.
Like, you love High School Musical? You love high school movies? You love superheroes?
Mm-hmm.
You
Where
like,
is
they
Dream
take, they
Sky
take a
High?
Really, they did... They took a comic book and made it into a movie. That's what it feels like when you watch it. And I know you can say that about a lot of movies, like Deadpool and every other fucking thing. But you know when you watch those and they don't feel like you're watching a comic book. You feel like you're watching a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sky High feels like you're watching a comic book.
Okay.
Yeah. It is so beyond up your alley. I can't believe that you haven't even, like,
know.
Accidentally seen
you know
it.
What? You know what's even... You know what's even crazier? I have seen Teen Beach Movie 1 and 2.
Both of them?
Yeah. It was like... I mean, to be fair, I've only watched both of those once each.
You only need to see Sky High once.
Yeah.
But then you're gonna want to watch it again.
Well, see, I have only heard excellent things about Sky High. Like, everyone, whenever Sky High gets brought up, everyone's like, Sky High's the best. Sky's the best Disney movie.
We can have a Skype date and we'll watch Sky High.
I would love that.
So, back to Buffy.
So, Warren is inside of Willow because of Amy.
Oh, right.
It's all very, it's all very season 6.
Yeah, it's a little convoluted. There's a lot that I like in this episode.
I like that we deal more with Tara.
Yeah, you always like that.
I love that. Well, because, yeah, and I also just feel like we've seen, like, so the entire, like, back end of season six was Willow dealing with her grief. But we haven't seen the new adjusted Willow deal with her grief.
Right.
And I yeah, and I'm glad right. that they dealt with that.
Yeah, and it's definitely, you know how, like, certain things you never really stop dealing with?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And also, like, there's so much that, like, sure, Willow went to the good witches to learn how to be a good witch again, right? And to, like, rework her perspective. Beth and I were talking about this before we started recording. To rework her perspective on magic to tap into a different side of it, right? Because mm-hmm. it's so multifaceted. But we've, like, seen her relationship with magic change a lot. But also, like, what's her relationship with Warren? What's her relationship with Tara, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, like, and also now that she is... She's not pursuing Kennedy, but she's engaging with Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what that brings up in, like, guilt-wise and all yeah. that. Great take. Great take. That's a hot take for you, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely like this episode. So that's kind of what's going on there. We'll go into the details of it. There's also a really, really excellent subplot for Dawn, Anya,
yeah. Andrew and Xander.
I'm thrilled about this. This is my favorite plot of this episode. This is what really put the icing on the cake for me.
Yes.
You know, I'm always about that icing.
You're all about the cake icing.
Yeah, because, like, you know, there's a lot of good episodes of Buffy. There's a lot of good episodes of Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the pizzazz? I'm all about... the performance,
yeah.
the glamour of it all. So, yeah, so there's this subplot where Giles takes all of the girls, the potential slayers, to the middle of the desert to meet the first, and do you have the script pulled up? Can you get the script pulled up?
I can, Buffy.
Okay, because I would like to convey word for word what Buffy told the girls that they were going out to the desert to do.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you think,
what moment I'm talking about?
Yes. Do you think they okay. appreciate the gravity of what we're undertaking? It's frightening and it's difficult. And then apparently someone told them that the vision quest consists of me driving them to the desert, doing the hokey pokey until a spooky Rasta Mama Slayer appears and speaks to them in riddles.
Right. Yep. That's great. That's a great, great mm-hmm. line. And it's so... I mean, season six and even season five was so fucking heavy.
Yeah.
And to see, and Buffy's got such a good sense of humor. I think the show does, and I think the character does. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the whole fucking thing, right? That's why people like Buffy, is that it's got this strange quirk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a, you know, sometimes it just like shines through.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it in that moment.
I like okay, in this script, after he says that, it just says, you know, like the direction, it says, looks at Buffy.
Looks at Buffy.
Yeah.
Pointedly. Yeah, so Giles has taken all the girls out to the desert to meet the first slayer and have to see where the power comes from. And the gang, what would you call them? The B players?
Mm-hmm.
The second string?
The, yeah, I'm trying to think of yeah. something clever.
Yeah, but I can't. So the second string is, hanging out at home. Buffy's off with Spike. That's a whole other thing. But, they're all at home and they get a phone call from that dude that, you remember Giles was with him that one time and he's like, Robson, hold on! And then the axe comes down
yeah.
and then it cuts. And then... it's never really brought up again. Giles is okay. Giles is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they get this phone call, and the dude is like, hey, is Giles okay? I haven't seen him since I thought he was gonna die.
Right.
And they're all like, what? That's super weird. Apparently, he blacked out right as an axe was swinging down yeah. on Giles.
And they were like, and when he came to, no more Giles. And they were like, so what are we saying? Are we saying Giles is the first? And Andrew, for I think the first time this entire season, provides actually good intel. And that's not to say that I'm not glad that he's here. Every episode with Andrew is a gift.
Yes.
It's a gift from heaven above. But,
He's some cake icing.
Yeah. Tom Lank's performance is Andrew last name. Andrew Buffy the Vampire Slayer. His performance is just, mwah. In a season that could really use some icing, mwah. Yeah. They're all freaking out because they think Giles might be the first, and they're like, well, like, I don't, God, what, hold on, I can't remember what leads corporeal. Dawn says, okay, Xander says, if you want to infiltrate the inner circle of the Slayer, and Anya says, become the one person she trusts more than anyone else. So this is kind of when they're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And Dawn says, but there's no way that we can tell. And Andrew says, that's not true. The first can't take corporeal form, so it can't touch anything. And they realize that since Giles has come back, they haven't seen him touch anything.
And they're saying, didn't you see him hold something? Did anybody hug him?
Yeah.
I also want you to really appreciate my point of view. Seeing this for the first time, Giles being my ride or die from day one, and thinking that he's dead.
Yeah.
And that he's been dead this whole time. I want you to think about the peaks and valleys that I've been through this season. I want you to think about when he showed back up on the doorstep, how I felt at that moment. And yeah. I want you to think about how I felt here when they're like, maybe he's been dead the whole time.
I was surprised you didn't pick up on that initially.
No, I thought it's my rose-colored glasses. Yeah, I was thrilled to see him. I was like, yeah, Giles for the final season. Bring him on in, you know? Like, the team needs its coach. Let's go. And I was just, yeah, I mean, I should have noticed. I should have been like, so what happened with the axe thing? But also, in our defense, this is a team effort here, Beth.
Yeah.
You and I didn't even mention in the episode where that happens, where the axe swings down on him and you're like, oh my God, did he die or did he not? You and I didn't even bring that up in the recording.
We kind of did. I didn't say anything else about it because I didn't want to draw your suspicion.
Right.
I didn't bring it up because I didn't want to be like, isn't it weird? Isn't it weird that Giles just like, we didn't see whether or not he lived or got his head chopped off. I should have done some vocal warm-ups. I'm really struggling in the last, like, minute.
My mother makes me eat many M&Ms.
That's child abuse. But
welcome to my 600-pound life.
Jeez.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate it. There's been a lot of times over the course of these, Jesus Christ, 3 years. There's been a lot of times over these 3 years that you've pointedly let me experience this as naturally as I could, you know?
I try. There's some things where I'm like,
You know, you're a good friend.
Thank you. I think so. So, okay, and so they have a great scene. I like that they don't drag it on longer than they have to. I like that this isn't like a 4-episode long arc where they're all just like staring at Giles, like being like, so Giles killed anyone lately? Like other shows would do. Patrick has been watching Chuck. You remember Chuck?
I don't actually.
Everybody remember Chuck?
I've got a friend who's obsessed with it. We watched the first episode, but it's a long show. It's one of the hour-long shows.
It is.
And I was really high, and I fell asleep, and I never watched. So I never, like, got to the point, because in the pilot, he's a loser.
Yeah.
And it's only later when he becomes cool, and so I was only watching the point when he was a loser, and I was like, the last thing that I need in my life is another, like, white brunette loser for me to, like, develop a crush on. Yeah. Like, that's not...
yeah.
I've got a predisposition, and the only thing that works is me keeping my distance. So... you know yourself and all that.
Know thyself.
But you've never really steered me wrong. Usually, if you've ever stored me wrong,
mm-hmm.
then I can already see it from a mile away. Like, you're like, watch this. I'm like, I'm not gonna like that. But anytime you're like, watch this, and I'm like, maybe, then you're usually right.
It's a fine show. It's not like the best I've ever seen. Okay. But it's fun, and it does surprise you from time to time.
Cool.
And why did I bring this up? I bring this up?
We were talking about how certain shows would have been like, so Giles killed anyone lately?
Oh, yeah. Remember? Yeah. Okay. No. Chuck does. Chuck avoids that too, which I really appreciate because it seems like it would be easy for a show like that to. Do it, but like something happened in like where we're at in the show, something happened in the last episode that Chuck got really freaked out about, and so this whole episode he was like keeping it inside and not talking to them, and in the end of the episode the person was like, hey, you're keeping something from me, like what's going on? And instead of just being like, it's nothing, I'm just really tired, he's like, oh, this, and I'm like, right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Buffy has done that before, mm-hmm. where they go, like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, God, this is going to be a whole fucking
thing. That's how we got into Willow's magic addiction in the first place.
That is how we got into it, isn't it?
Because she just kept lying to people.
Yeah. Yeah, so then the whole gang runs out to the desert, and this is the Shining Andrew moment of the episode.
Yes.
There is a way that he says, the line is, me too. The line is, me too. That's it. Two words. And the way that he says it made me burst out laughing and rewind the show. You know, on Hulu, they have the rewind 10 seconds mm-hmm. button. I hit that button and I watched that moment again.
Really?
Yeah. And I've never done it watching Buffy. They run out to the desert, they get it, because they think that Giles took all the potentials out there to kill them, because Giles is secretly the first. And so they run out there, and they go to find him, and I'm sure that there's a gif of this moment where they tackle him.
Yeah.
And if so, I just really like it. They tackle him, screaming, touch him, touch him! Andrew's going, touch him, touch him. Xander goes, touch him, touch him. And Dawn goes, I feel him. And Xander says, me too. And then Andrew goes, me too. With just this cheery of like, he's real. It's Giles. It really is Giles. And it's just such a great moment. And then Giles is like, wait, what's happening? And then they explain to him. They're like, we thought you might be the first, so we came here to touch you and see if you had a corporeal form. And Giles says, oh, that's sweet. And then just this whole scene is a beautiful moment. Can you tell me who wrote this episode?
It's Drew Greenberg or whatever.
No way, yeah. Drew!
It's the guy that... We were so... He wrote him. We were so disappointed in him. He's
Drew.
He's come around.
Wow. Talk about the underdog rising to the occasion.
I noticed that when we were... like, when the episode was on, it was like, writer, Drew Greenberg. And I was like, no way!
Yeah. That's hilarious, because I was thinking that I was going to give this episode a 10.
No way! Really?
I really think I was. Yeah, there was so much that I liked about it. So let's...
Okay.
Do you want to do Buffy and Spike? Do you want to talk about Buffy and Spike?
I was just about to say, we are missing the, the third...
Girl, we are 20 minutes in. I save time. You think that I just addressed the lighthearted stuff at the beginning of the podcast just on accident? I want to get... to this. I want to get to the heart of this, because we are posed with a very serious question.
A very serious question that does not get answered this episode.
It doesn't. And I know that you know what happens, but I don't. And I
actually, I don't remember what happened.
Oh, cool. Cool.
I think I remember, but I'm not sure. Because I could be conflating it with fan fiction.
Wow.
So.
So, yeah, okay.
So, go
ahead. Take me away.
Yeah, come on this journey with me. So, Spike and Buffy, Spike is chained up in the basement. On his own volition, he did it himself because
he
doesn't want to hurt anyone. Buffy goes down and they're joking about, you know, like, oh, there's no other teenage girls in the house. Isn't that nice? Ha ha, we're old. And...
Oh, bless you.
Excuse me. And they're talking about, and they basically just go back and forth for like a solid 2 minutes about Spike's like, I'm dangerous, I need to be chained up. Buffy's like, you can control yourself, it's fine, I trust you. He's like, you shouldn't trust me. It's very Edward and Bella. And
which you know I love.
Yes, which yes. And suddenly there's it's a very good transition kind of. Spike just goes, Buffy, and he's, like, staring at her, and he looks very concerned, and she's like, what? And he goes, ow, 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 and he starts screaming.
Holding his brain.
Yeah, holding his head, and she's like, what is going on? And, God, there's so much in this episode.
I know.
And she's like,
I just killed a mosquito.
Good! The killer in you.
Sorry.
And then, he starts, like, freaking out. And this is in the beginning of the episode. This is, like, right after Giles leaves, to take the girls to the desert. Before he is potentially the first,
I think this is also, it might even be before the intro.
It is, because it cuts to him, it cuts right from his screaming to the intro.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool.
gosh, that, something that I just did with my voice did not make my throat happy. So, continuing with that, that through line, Buffy's like, we gotta find someone to fix your chip, because they realize that it's the chip. Something's going wrong with the chip.
Yeah, pretty obviously.
Yeah, and, she's like, there's gotta be something we can do. He keeps having these, like, attacks, and his nose starts bleeding, which, if we've all watched Stranger Things, we know it's not a good thing. Nosebleeds in media are, like, it's almost a trope.
Oh, definitely. And all the, I'm thinking of, like, okay, Mia Wallace in Pulp Fiction. She gets that nosebleed, and hers is from doing cocaine, I think. But,
Who has nosebleeds? I think Carrie has nosebleeds in,
Oh, does she?
I think. It's been a really long time since I've read the book.
And, but I'm thinking about, like, I always see people on Halloween that are dressed up like John Travolta and, is that Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
Okay. They're dressed up as them from Pulp Fiction, and the Uma Thurman always has, bloody like, nose. Blood painted right there.
Yeah, same with and Eleven from Stranger Things.
Same with Eleven, and same with Natalie Portman's character in Leon the Professional, which I already
which
talked about.
Which we've talked about. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so she has one too.
It's almost like a trope. It's so interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize that until just now. But so his nose is bleeding. She's like, we have to call the initiative. But the initiative is technically, quote, like, not a thing anymore. But she, does it say that Riley left her a number? Or, like, she calls, like, she remembers it from when she was dating Riley?
It doesn't ever say, but
She calls a flower shop.
Yeah.
I didn't
question it. I mean, of course, like, Riley and her really ended on good terms the last time we saw him, so it didn't surprise me at all that she was like, hey, I need some help.
With his super awesome wife.
Yeah.
I think her name was Sam. Come back, Sam. So she calls the flower shop, and she's like, I'm looking for Riley Finn, and she's basically like, I need help. Like, if Riley Finn comes, basically, like, the people on the other, you can tell the people on the other end of the line are, like, being like, we don't know what you're talking about. This is a flower shop.
Right. And she says, she's like, is this one of the things where I'm supposed to play along to show I know it's actually secret ops, or is this really a flower shop?
And they're like, you know, and you can't hear them, but it sounds like they're just like, it's a flower shop.
Right. And she's like, well, if anybody comes in named Riley to pick up some flowers, let them know I called.
Yeah, like, tell them that I need help.
Yeah.
Spike is sitting on the stairs. He's, like, convulsing, basically. It hurts him. Like, it's very, very painful to him. So, they decide to go to the Initiative Caves. Which, by the way, the previously on Buffy, this episode was buck wild. Because
I skipped it.
Okay, well, let me fill you in. It had scenes of Amy from season one. It had scenes of Riley from season four. It had, It had Tara Warren. Dying.
Yeah.
It has, I put the episode on and I was like, we are about to take a journey.
Yeah, man, I had the same kind of feeling. And that's one of the reasons that I liked this episode so much, is that they covered so much ground.
They take so much lore from the rest of the show and they put it in this episode. It's crazy.
A lot of fun, though.
You know,
definitely.
This is not an episode where if you had never watched Buffy before, this episode is, like, not one you should watch.
No, that's a great point.
It builds on 6 entire years of, like, you have to know all of, like, everything. Oh, yeah, they also showed, like, Amy coming to Willow's house and Willow being like, if you were really my friend, you'll stay away from me.
Uh-huh.
All this stuff. It had everything in it. It was so funny, because I was... Like, I was just watching the, like, previously on, I was like, holy crap. Like, there's something from, like, literally every single season in this, like, little shortcut. It's so funny. But anyway, so, they go to the Initiative Caves, and they're, like, fighting off all of the monsters that were, like, left once the Initiative shut down. And Spike...
Oh, they're down there because they're looking for a drug that would sedate Spike's chip. It would, like, make his brain feel better. And he, like, didn't seem to really know what it was. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was just like, yeah, I don't know. It was just, like, they put the chip in him, and he was still evil at that point. So he would try to kill things, and then the chip would really, really hurt, and then they would give him this drug to soothe it. So that's what they're down there looking for. Instead, they just find a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, it seems to be the one thing that has survived in the Initiative.
Yeah.
Because everything else looks dead. But, of course, I mean, that makes sense that there would be, like, one survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kill the thing, and then all of these lights turn on, like in the, was the last episode the show where she was like,
Showtime?
She gave the whole speech?
No, yeah. It was the episode before that.
Okay, well, you know in Showtime, whenever all the lights click on, and it's like, doom, doom, right? So that happens, and there's a bunch of men in camo pointing guns at them.
And Buffy has a great line, or he goes, the doctor, like the main guy, he's like, Agent Riley Finn told us that you needed our help. And she goes,
right.
And she, like, turns to Spike, and she goes, I knew it! Government operatives.
Yep.
Or government conspiracy.
Says, that's what she says, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was, that whole, I mean, just the whole thing with the Initiative is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love a secret organization, right?
Most of the fans of the show.
You know what I mean, like the trope of a secret organization.
I'm glad that they didn't just let it die. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that even when Riley, like, stayed on for season 5 and the Initiative died, like, they're still, like, even now in season 7, they're like, the Initiative is technically still a thing. Like, probably right. just under a different name.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Definitely. That kind well, of and thing. Riley's moved on. Riley doesn't even work with them anymore. Yeah, Riley's been promoted.
I think Riley
These works are all for, new guys.
Does it ever say what he works for now? I think it says, I think he's, like, part of the CIA or something. Anyway, so, so
they help him. They take, check it out.
Yeah, they say, take Spike to the operating table, and they're like, "You're yeah. right. His chip is corroded, and if it
because he wasn't meant to last this long. They put these things in them to like make them docile, and then first of all, they weren't ever expected to get released back out into the wild.
Yeah.
And if they ever did make it back out, it's expected that they wouldn't be able to defend themselves, so they'd die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Spike was not supposed to just do his thing.
Yeah, so the chip is all corroded, and the man said that, all decisions regarding Hostel 17 fell to Buffy. Mm-hmm. According to Riley, which I think is a sweet
Yeah. He's move. Like, he said, it's up to you what we do with Ass Face here.
Yeah.
And she just kind of stares at him. And he's like, his words, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. So the dude is like, you're right. The chip's busted. What do you want us to do? And Buffy's like, what do you mean? And he said, well, we can either repair it or remove it. And that's the end of Spike and Buffy's plotline this yeah. episode. So, what would you do?
I mean, it would obviously, I would have a conversation with Spike and be like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you've gone through this, this, like, redemption arc. Do you want this to, like... I would, like, personally, if I was Buffy at this point in time, I would be okay with either. I think because she's seen how much he's changed.
Interesting.
I think it would just be up to him. Like, if he felt like he couldn't be trusted, then it's like, sure, yeah. But then, even then, it's like, how can we... what is that Jenny Slate thing? How can anyone really be sure? How can anyone really not be sure? How can anyone be sure that it's not going to corrode again in, you know, 3 years?
That's what I was thinking.
So I would probably just remove it.
I would take it out. I would take it out. And because at this point, Buffy's already got a complicated relationship with Spike.
Mm-hmm.
And if she said, repair it. Don't, you know, like, don't tell him that it's even an option to remove it. Just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, or even if she told him, like, hey, they're going to repair your chip. And he was like, well, can't they remove it, too? And she'd be like, yeah, but we're just going to repair it. How is that going to help their friendship mm-hmm. or relationship or whatever the fuck? It's because that means that she doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
And how is he going to keep helping whenever Buffy wants him on this leash? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then there's, like, if she did keep it a secret from him, then eventually he would find out. And then it's back to the same old thing of, like, she doesn't trust me.
Yeah.
She had an opportunity to remove this chip and she didn't take it. And then also just the whole thing where it's like, he's fucking bleeding. She's not, yeah. she is not enjoying this side of him. Thank you for the gift. yeah, like, she, oh, God, you messed up my train of thought. But, oh, yeah. It was so difficult to find these people, and she had to, like, call the flower shop and, like, not really know. And, like, they feel like they're on a clock, and they're yeah. stressed out about it. And, like you said, it's just going to corrode. It's a piece of hardware.
Yeah.
It's a piece of hardware. It's going to corrode soon. Upkeep. It's going to, we're eventually going to be back into this. And what, you're just going to run through this cycle? And what happens if Buffy dies before the next time it corrodes and they don't have a connection to yeah, it? You know, if Spike calls the initiative and says, hey, my chip's corroded again. And they say, okay, where's Buffy? And he's like, she's dead. They're like, you're on your own.
Yeah.
The only reason that they help them is because Buffy called Riley and mm-hmm. Riley told them to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be okay with either or. And I would just say remove it. And if he does something, you fucking stake him. She's known This has been, like, an underlying thing this whole time, right? Like,
she did like stake him once, but it didn't take. Because of the Gem of Amara. If right. we're going back to season 3, I think?
Right, but, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, they I don't know. Have
but,
this.
But that, it's literally been then. Once in the 6 years she's known him.
Right, and
she's threatened it much more than that.
Yeah, and she also, there's a bunch of situations in her life where she plays along mm-hmm. and knows that at some point it's going to come down to, like Anya.
Yeah.
When Anya decided to become a vengeance demon again, but Buffy was like, okay, cool, I knew what was going to happen if this happened. Like, yeah. Buffy thinks things through, so, like, she was totally cool with Anya. When she was a human, like, she had no problem with her. But there was always an underlying thing of, if Anya ever makes this decision, I have to make this decision.
Sure.
Yeah, and if Spike ever makes a decision to kill again, I'm going to have to make this decision. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's great about being objective at things like that. So, it's like, yeah, take it out. Let's see who he... It also takes away the question that you and I have been asking each right. other since he got the chip. What's he really like? Does it count?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd be like, this is what I've been waiting for. I want to see if he's really changed.
Yeah, and so we had this discussion in my Whedon class. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard because me and, like, maybe two other people and also the professor had, like, full context for the show.
Uh-huh.
So we couldn't really have, like, an intense class discussion. But my professor brought up a really good point, which that, like, throughout the entire run of Spike's character on the show, he, and I don't like using this word, but, like, let me see. I'm trying to think of another word besides crippled, because I'm not really a huge mm-hmm. fan of using that. But
he's impeded.
Impeded. That's great. Yeah. That's a great word. So, his entire run on the show, his manliness, and I'm, like, heavy air quote usage on that, his masculinity has been mm-hmm. impeded by something or another. So, like, okay, when he first got on
right,
the show...
Right. We've actually done this, but yeah. I can't remember everything you said. Go ahead.
Well, when he first came on the show, like, he was on the show for, like, 2 or 3 episodes, and then he, the church, like, that they're in collapses.
Oh, yeah.
And breaks his spine.
Yeah.
And he's in a wheelchair for, like, the majority of season 2.
Right. That's right. Oh, my God. And Angel was evil and fucking his wife.
Yeah. So, wow. There was that. He was gone for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
In season 4 is when the chip came in.
Mm-hmm.
And the chip, you know, has, pretty much been a constant in his life for, you know, seasons 4 through 6.
Uh-huh. It's also, I'm getting deja vu. We might have said these exact same things before.
I feel like I brought up this, but I couldn't do the whole thing because I didn't want to be like, because it was definitely before he got his soul back.
Definitely. And plus, it's good to have the same conversation with more context, yeah. right? His character's progressed in a lot of serious ways. So, fuck, what was I gonna say? It evaporated. No
idea.
Here it is. So the trope of, God, we've used that word a lot.
Lots of tropes.
Let's say symbol. The symbol of a vampire biting a woman is super sexual. So if you look at Dracula or Nosferatu, like there are these women who are like in their 90s running from this vampire, and then they get bitten by the vampire, and then they become these like monstrous, seductive, mm-hmm. like forces, you know?
Yeah.
And usually before they're bitten, they're like virginal and like need a lot of help from
men. It's literally what happened to Drusilla. Drusilla was a literal nun.
Oh, has that been covered?
Oh, maybe not.
Because I definitely didn't remember that.
No, I think it was in season 2, maybe, okay. But Drusilla was a nun and Angel went to the church.
I do remember this.
Because he had been targeting her because she was, like, the purest of, like... Because
she's beautiful. Yeah.
She was, like, the purest of all of the nuns. But she was scared because she had visions.
Right. Okay.
And I
totally remember this now.
Yeah. Angel kind of, like, realized that she was, like, scared of herself.
Mm-hmm. And special.
Yeah, and also...
And, like, if you have somebody who's having vision, imagine what happens whenever you tap into this supernatural side of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that's part of, like, he, like, targeted her because he knew that she was, like, A, super pure, like, all she wanted to do was, like, follow God and be a nun.
Right. So in relationship to Spike, it's, whenever I took this gender and sexuality in the horror film class, and we talked a lot about vampires and about, like, we talked about vampires first and then lesbian vampires, and guess which section I liked more. Mm. But in Dracula, there's, like, Mina and some other woman, and they are, like, virginal and pure, and then Dracula bites them in a very sexual way that's, like, it's heavily implied that he's taking their virginity. Mm-hmm. And then, taking. Gross. What a fucked up thing. But he, like, he deflowers them, and then they become they achieve their true supernatural evil power, because it's also evil for women to have sex. So, in relationship to Spike, he loses his ability to have sex with women whenever that chip gets put in, and and that's so much so much of masculinity is wrapped up in, like, in taking women's virginity and just being just sexual prowess in general, key that opens a lot of locks is a good key, but a lock that lets any key in is a bad lock. That kind of thing. Yes. So all of this is to say, yes, the chip has impeded his masculinity.
And it's also interesting because, so the only person he has sex with after the chip is presumably, Harmony, but also...
That's right.
But also, so Buffy, who is, like, the one person who, like, is sworn to kill him.
Right.
It's almost like... I mean, you could see it as, like, a ha-ha-ha, like, I got her into bed, I won, but it's also, like,
But he loves her.
Yeah.
It's not a conquest.
In a traditional, like, you know, monster, like, he's weak.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's submitting to the enemy.
Yeah, if anything, she gets one over on him for, like, all of season six.
Oh my gosh, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, it's such an interesting, and I want to, I should email that professor, just be like, hey, remember me, I was the one grad student in that class? She had such an interesting take on, like, masculinity in Buffy and Angel, because, like, Angel's masculine, so Angel is, like, very traditionally masculine. He's very, like, you know...
He's, like, rugged, you know?
Yeah, he's rugged, he's very, like...
And Spike bleaches his hair.
Yeah, Spike, you know, paints his nails, bleaches his hair, he's very, like, his pre-soul, or his pre-vampire days, he was a poet, Angel was a womanizer, alcoholic, like, all of this stuff. So Spike and the show does an excellent job showing you the difference between the two of them. And like, how that might have contributed to their, falling out. But it's just such an interesting, dichotomy between Angel and Spike in terms of, like, their masculinity and, like, how they approach, like, being a man, quote unquote. Because pretty much Spike, if I'm remembering what my teacher said correctly, and I'm going to have to, like, I really am going to have to email her, but pretty much Spike, like, abandons traditional masculinity by the time the show is over.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Like, and I mean, he's pretty much done that already now. Like, he's like, I mean, he is who he is. He can't really, like, it's, I'm trying to think of, like, a, he, his swagger and, sure. like, his, like, his very, his bravado, that's a good word for it. His bravado and his swagger are the same, but his, like, perspective on the world has changed.
And the way he uses them, too, and his priorities have changed mm-hmm. drastically.
I just, and this is why, like, beyond just, like liking Spike and Buffy together, this is why I'm such a huge fan of Spike, is because it's so fascinating to, like, to think about his journey from, like, season two to now.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally, he's, like, you know, like, he's done a 180, but, like, in such a, like, it's like he was on the other side of the world, and now he's over here.
Right, right. And it's also his relationship to the Slayer and how the Slayer helps him and, like, yeah. and the whole concept of, like, what is ethics and, like, yeah, he's definitely a very interesting character. And Angel was good when we met him. And so yeah. We weren't there for his arc. Like, we get a little bit of it.
Yeah, we were like, oh, you, yeah, like, oh, you got cursed with a soul. That's so sad. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he loses it, and we see him being crazy again, and then, I mean, we were all there.
Yeah. We don't need to go back to season two.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, Spike's been on the show for so much longer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Angel mm-hmm. was really only on this show for, like, two and a half seasons.
Two. I'd say two.
And, Spike has been on for four? Four sure. plus one episode in season three.
Take your word for it.
So.
Cool.
We love Spike. So.
Yep. So I take the chip out.
So, yeah, I think that's what they do. I don't remember, honestly.
Okay.
We'll
find out, won't we? Dude, the next episode looks like it's going to be so good. I did read the description on
I don't remember what the next episode is. Which I know I'm not supposed
to do.
Hold on.
It says, Buffy goes on a date with Principal Wood, and he reveals his true identity, which I am so fucking psyched for. I'm so psyched for.
Yeah.
Oh, am I going to be let down?
No. Okay. I just think you're going to be very surprised.
Okay, cool. And then it also said that Xander goes on a date with a girl who is more than meets the eye, and the screen grab for this episode is Xander, and he's flipped, like horizontally upside down, like Spike was whenever he was chained to that big pentagram. Thank you.
Yes.
thank you, me. yeah. So he's chained to that thing and being held up above over the seal again. It's my assumption of what the screen grab is. Yeah. And then there's something else too, but I can't remember what it was. So yeah. Anyway.
But okay. I'm psyched. So we have missed the entire main plot.
Oh, we right, not about the killer. The
entire main plot. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Kennedy fakes being sick to spend more time with Willow.
Yeah, to not go on the thing. She takes Willow, they have a drink, they get to know each other, they get home, they're sharing a room, right? So, like, it's kind of awkward, and there's, like, all these implications. Because it's cute. It's a cute scene where they're talking about being gay and like there's and Kennedy's kind of flirting with her.
One thing that you know me, like, the smallest plot discrepancy annoys me in this show, but sure. What annoys me about just a little about their discussion about being gay and how Willow was like, my parents were totally cool with it, like my mom thought I was this like cool counterculture
making a statement, yeah,
is that a huge point about Willow's parents in the show is that they don't care about her. They, like, right. don't pay attention to her.
Right.
And
Well, let's think about this. Say, so, like, say your parents don't care about you. They never have. And then you realize you're gay. And one of the things about being gay is coming out to your parents. Mm-hmm. And so she tells them. And then what if that's what makes them interested? What if that makes her... Because before, they weren't interested because they didn't really think anything of her. Because they don't know that she's a witch. They don't know that she fights evil. So they think... What if they just think that she's just like a sweet little geek? And then she says, I'm gay. And then what if they're like, oh, wow, this is cool. Like, that's what she's kind of saying is that... Her mom thought that she was making a political statement and she was all cool with it and being like, yeah, I've got a gay daughter who is like, who's subversive. And then she said, and then it wore off and I was just gay.
Yeah.
And now they don't care. So that's how because I thought the same thing where I was like, they probably didn't care. So I thought that they were like, oh my God, our daughter's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's an interesting read of it. I like that.
And then they realized that she was the same Willow that she's always been, and then they were like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. That's a good, that's a decent, I'll accept it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I fixed that. Plugged the plot hole for you.
And it's just dumb. She's like, when did you realize you were gay? And Willow's like, how do you know I'm gay? And Kennedy's like, come on.
Yeah, I also don't really like that either. Like, I thought Willow was, like, cool being out. Like, why wouldn't she be like, oh, cool, there's another lesbian in the house? Maybe it's because Kennedy clearly likes her and
I think she's just because...
Obviously has these, like, guilty feelings.
I also just hate, one of the other times I, like, groaned in this episode is when Willow's like, I just don't get it why you like me. I'm like...
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, you aren't past this?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly. And, like, I mean, they literally had the same... Tara and Willow literally had the same conversation in Once More with Feeling...
Because, and she has the same conversation with Oz. When she's young, she's like, Oz is so cool, why does he like me?
Yeah. There's.
Like, I don't know if she says that word for word, but it's definitely a vibe.
Yeah. And, she has a conversation where she tells Tara. Tara's like, so these boys, they're in the park, and these boys check Tara out.
Right. And she's like, that doesn't really happen for me.
No, she doesn't say that. She says, Willow, Tara's like, those boys were really checking me out, and Willow goes, and you can't believe what they see in you. And it's just very, like, you've been there before. Like, you've been to this place. Stop being, I don't want to, like, shame her. Like, you're allowed to be insecure, but, like, I just hate... It's like, why do you like me?
And it always comes across as fishing for compliments.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across as insecure because I definitely wouldn't. Maybe it's different because she's a potential slayer and they've been sharing a room for a couple of weeks, but I would not ask somebody that on the first date.
Me neither.
And I would not be like, so why did you agree to come out on this date with me? Or like, why did you ask me out? Like, that's just such a weird kind of manipulative thing to say, to get them to say, oh, well, you're so cool and you're so smart.
Yeah.
That's the only context I would ever use it in, is if I was fishing for compliments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it's very, like...
It was a weird line.
It was, and so,
And it's all, it was just a segue to have Kennedy hit on Willow, that's all.
Yeah. It's that, just the whole date, I wasn't crazy about. I didn't think it was... cute or funny or like, and it sucks because like I don't know, I wish that they had allowed Willow to be single this last season.
See, I'm like, I mean, I don't, like, know what at happens. Least
just go on a date with someone and have it not work out.
Sure, that's a good point. Yeah. I really like Kennedy. I love lesbian representation. I was actually talking with somebody at work and they were talking about like what it was, they're a little older than me, and they were talking about what it was like growing up gay in this small town, and then watching Buffy, and, like, not thinking anything of it, and then Willow turning out to be gay, and then it becoming something, like, very deep to them, and, like, really meaningful. Like, before they would just watch Buffy, and, like, not worry about it. And then once Willow started being gay, then it became something just so special. And she started watching it in secret. She, like, didn't want her family to know that she watched Buffy anymore because she didn't want them to find out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it, like, it was this whole special thing. And she said that it was the first lesbian representation that she saw on TV. And she was, like, just talking about how much it meant to her. And so there's also that aspect of it too, where it's like, it's also kind of cool that they weren't just like, okay, here's your one girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
Also you got her killed.
Yeah, yeah. Or that's how you're going to feel. Who is dead. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's like, you know, because then there's the whole debate of like, well, Willow could just be bisexual, or maybe Tara was just a fluke. Like, people could say that, right? Because she had one boyfriend and one girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But now that she's had Kennedy and that she's, like, interested in, it's, like, it's a validation because, you know how people love to invalidate women and queer people? You know how they love to say, no, you're not actually like this.
No, I didn't know that. Tell me more. Yeah.
So it's, like, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
That is a welcome perspective that I had not considered.
Yeah. I love Kennedy. I love that Willow is being pursued. I love that they are showing women pursuing other women. I love that they just kissed, and they didn't even have sex. And I love that it's, and I mean, they might have if she hadn't turned into Warren, but,
Yeah, so...
Okay, let me ask you this. Does she have a dick now?
Interesting. Probably.
Because if I turned into the man that I had killed, of course it would be emotionally distressing. And I would be like, I have a male body right now.
Yeah.
I would be very curious about what it is like.
What was going on down there?
To have a penis. Penises are so weird.
Oh, God.
We can't even go down this path, I don't think. I don't know if we'll come back.
So
they go on the date. They come home. They kiss, with implication to engage further, but they can't because Willow turns into Warren. There's a whole thing where obviously everybody thinks that she's the first. Buffy sees her as Warren and punches her, fucking clocks her, actually. It's a good moment. And of course, Andrew has all these feelings about him. And I like seeing this moment, too.
Me, too. I really that.
It's kind of like whenever you say, like, all right, let's take Spike's chip out. Let's see who he really is. It's like, okay, let's set Andrew in front of Warren. See what he does. And at first he does hug him, but then he's like, don't talk to me. I'm not going to do your shit for you anymore. Like, I'm not evil. And,
He's like, It turns into a joke because he's like,
it does.
He's like, you promised me blah, 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 and puppies and hanging out on the beach.
Being demigods.
Yeah, being demigods. That is like, it turns into a joke, but he's in love with Warren.
Yeah.
And like, he's clearly like, so like, distressed and like, he doesn't know what to do or what to think about seeing him again. It's such an interesting dynamic. I really wish they had explored that more. I mean, they explored it, like, that whole exchange was very interesting, but I do wish they had been, like, they had gotten that,
Yeah, I'd love more Andrew.
There is a really good Andrew-centric episode, later on in the season. A lot of people, it's, like, one of a lot of people's favorite season 7 episodes. It's not mine.
Awesome.
But it's up there for me.
That's exciting. So there's this whole moment where she's Warren, and then she's...
I liked how, when Xander is like, you're Warren, how can we trust it? You're Willow. And she's like, there are stories that don't involve yellow crayons where you don't come out looking so hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh.
It's always interesting, like, in the, like, oh my God, in the trope where somebody is themselves, but they look like somebody else.
Yeah.
The way that they prove it's them is always funny.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting, like, as a writer.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how does Willow let Xander know it's her?
Yeah.
And, like, asking that question and Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool for any of those characters. How does Xander, if Xander didn't look like himself, how would he let the gang know that it was him? Yeah, that's always a good
one. Yeah, and apparently his with Willow's involved Aquaman under ruse.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably that he, like, peed or pooped his pants, right?
Let's assume.
That's what I'm gonna assume. So then she's like, no, I'll figure it out. I did it myself. Oh, yeah, that's another thing that she thinks. She thinks that she did this to herself, which later turns out to be not true. But she thinks she did it to herself because before, you know, whenever she came back from England, she, like, cast a spell accidentally where her friends couldn't see her.
And yeah, she couldn't see like, them. Remember the whole you see me or you can't see me, I see you spell?
Whatever it was. So she thinks that she did this to herself, and that's a very logical assumption, because who the fuck cares about Amy at this point? Who's even thought of Amy, you know?
Yeah, who remembers Amy?
Not so me. She's like, I'm gonna figure Amy. This out. Ugh.
I wish I could never think about Amy again for the rest of my entire natural she's born so, life.
The actress does a great job of just being the fucking worst. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's like the way that she moves and the way that she speaks and the smiles. Way that she holds her face. Everything about it is just so smug and disgusting. I hate her. So she, but I also like that I hate her, you know, like that.
She does a good job.
Right. Sure. So she's like, I'm going to fix this myself. I'm just going to do it. Kennedy is like kind of following her. The editing is good. In this, or it's at least effective. I don't know, like, obviously it was very strange, right? Having it, they were cutting in the middle of conversations, and sometimes it would be Willow saying it, and sometimes it would be Warren saying it. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely very stylized, but it worked. Super worked. So, mm-hmm. Props there, because that's also not an easy trick to have two different people and then, like...
Oh, also, I want to say... it the same like, way. Major props to... Sure. Adam Bush. Like...
Yeah.
He does an incredible job as Warren as Willow.
As Warren as Willow, yeah. And also, like, Warren kind of leaking through Willow. That was very interesting. So Willow is like, I need to go see... I need to find some other witches because she's trying to reverse the spell and it's not working. So she goes to the Wiccan Club at her college, which is where she met Tara. And it was like kind of her first step into, not her first mm-hmm. step, but one of them. And they've like upped their game in a major way and they're doing like healing stuff whenever she finds them.
Yeah, she's like, so you've moved away from the bake sale, which is, if you'll remember... Like
right, what their meeting was
the
about.
The main she was, thing that they met about the first time she met Tara.
Mm-hmm. So, she's like, I'm Willow, and they're like, you're Willow, and then Amy stands up and is like, I know it's her, and it's awful. And it's so then they all kind of help out a little bit. It's not working because Amy is quote unquote helping, but not really. And then it doesn't work. And then Warren slaps Amy, I guess, and calls her a bitch. And, and she storms out of the room and she like stops accepting help. And, it's just this very, so like, that's when she's like, okay, Warren, I'm turning into Warren. Warren is turning into me and like, it's leaking through. And she thinks that she is punishing herself for killing him. And that turns out to not really be the case, you know?
Yeah. Because the Wiccans of UC Sunnydale bounce and Amy and Kennedy are the only people left in the room.
Right.
And, Kennedy's like, how can we fix her? Like, what can we do? Is there anything you can do? And she's like, yeah, she's like, you know, it's Willow. She's super strong. And she's, you know, plus she's got a super, super strong potential slayer girlfriend.
She said she's been through a lot before she ever got a potential slayer bodyguard.
Yeah. And Kennedy is like, I didn't tell you it's a classic. Classic thing of, I didn't say my name was blank.
Right.
Or like, you know.
I didn't say that we were at the diner or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say that I was a potential slayer. And she goes, no, you must have mentioned it when you... And Kennedy was like, why the fuck would I ever say that?
Yeah.
Like, we're being killed by the day.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to know that I am who I am. How do you know that? And she's like... And Amy just has, like, this smile and goes, oops. And you're like, damn it, Amy! I trusted you for, like, 2 seconds.
For 2 whole seconds. That's the longest we've ever trusted her, I think.
Yeah. Which is, you know what? I was thinking while I was watching this episode, it's very smart to have Willow slap her. Because it shows that it... I love when I can tell in shows that, like, things serve, like, multiple purposes. And you can just see in the writer's room, they're like, yes! Like,
yeah.
So this serves multiple purposes. The slap is showing that Warren is, like, bleeding through Willow, and soon he will probably overcome her. Also, it shows that Amy is not the first. Because when this happens...
Yeah.
When this reveal happens, I'm sure some viewers were like, she's the first.
Right.
She's the first, and she did something to Willow.
Yeah.
But... Nope. She's just regular old horrible Amy.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a great point. So Willow's like, fuck all y'all, I hate you. And leaves, and then she's like crying in an alleyway. And then she says, it's funny the way that they convey sexism, and they lay it on so thick.
Yeah.
They really do, and I don't know if that's always the most effective thing. It's a lot of, like, bitch, slut.
And, like,
And look at me, I'm crying like a little girl.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, but it's also, you know, they're trying to make it, like, this was one of Warren's main traits. This is part of the reason that he was a bad guy. Part of the reason he had such an issue with Buffy in particular. Anyway. So, she goes and buys the gun that Warren bought, the same model, and gets it, and then goes to the backyard. Oh, yeah, and then there's, like, a confrontation between Amy and Kennedy whenever they, by the way, this episode passes the Bechdel test with flying colors.
Does it?
Yeah, doesn't it? Because they're talking about Willow and her issue and, like, her guilt and, the evil things that Amy has done. And it doesn't have anything to do with a man. Like Warren is a part of it, but he's not the cause. And they're not, like, let's talk about Warren. Like, they're talking about Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, this whole subplot is very, you know. There's just not any men in it.
Yeah.
So, even though there is a man in it, which is cool. So, Amy and Kennedy have this confrontation, and Amy's like, I know where she is right now. Snaps her fingers, and Kennedy is transported into, like, the backyard, and that's the last we see of Amy this episode.
Willow goes to the gun shop where Warren apparently bought the gun to kill Buffy/Tara.
Sure.
And the gun guy, and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? This has been something I've literally never considered before. Wouldn't there have been an investigation into who killed Tara?
Do they do like crime scene? I can't remember. Was there like tape and stuff over the door?
No, but, like, Tara has parents. I mean, like, at least parent.
Well, it's a parent that knows about the supernatural world, though.
It just seems to me. It seems to me. And also, Buffy has neighbors. I don't know. Maybe the neighbors, because there have been so many, like, demon things hanging out around the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not a safe neighborhood.
It seems to me like somebody would have reported a gunshot. It's weird to me that no one ever, like, and also Tara was going to school. Her teachers had to be notified. Like,
She had to be unenrolled.
Yeah, like, there had to be, like...
Yeah.
You can't just drop off the grid because that, like, that can, like, lead to, like, fraud. Like, you have to... There has to be a death certificate. There has to be, like... You know, you have to be registered as dead because otherwise someone could use your identity for fraud.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, like you said, like, Tara dies and then that's it. Isn't that kind of, like, what the whole point of fridging is? Is that
they die
for one purpose, and the purpose is to further a plot. And they aren't given, like... a respect, right? They aren't given the respect that a writer gives whenever a character dies, and you do the whole follow through. What does it mean that Tara died? You know, it means that she had to be unenrolled. It means that this. So now can Warren's body, can somebody who looks like Warren go back into that same gun shop and the gun shop owner won't be like, hey,
also, the police Warren came is dead. Here
talking. Also, Warren is dead. Also, but the gun shop owner doesn't know that.
Yeah, I know. It's just crazy to me that, like...
Sure, sure.
It's so funny because, like, Warren has parents. Warren went to UC Sunnydale.
Yeah.
Like, or actually, he went to a technical college, didn't he?
I don't know.
That's what they say in I Was Made to Love You. But, anyway, it's all just bonkers to me that the police don't get involved in multiple murders.
We've had a lot of questions about the police force in Sunnydale over the course of the years.
You continue to let us down.
Yeah. Yeah, all good points. A lot of ghosts this episode. So anyway, what we end up with is this final showdown where Warren Willow is holding the gun at
Kennedy.
And Kennedy also doesn't seem scared.
Yeah, not super scared. I think that she thinks that she's like, oh, Willow won't hurt me.
Sure.
Even though she just saw Willow slap somebody, but, you know.
And even though there's a gun. Man, I don't care who's holding the gun. Beth, you could be holding the gun, and if you've got a gun pointed at me, I'm fucked up. Like, this isn't. I'm not ever like, oh, Beth won't hurt me. I'd be like, Beth wouldn't normally hurt me, but something's wrong.
One of my favorite Friends quotes is, like, somebody says to Chandler, he's like, look down the barrel of a gun, pee into the wind. And he goes, if I'm staring down the barrel of a gun, I'm pretty much peeing every which way.
Yep, that's a, man, Friends is good. Friends is good. I don't care what anybody says. So we end up with this showdown, and basically what it's a slow, painful deterioration of Willow's psyche.
Yeah, she's like, you were there, I killed her. And Kennedy was like, no, I wasn't. She's like, what are you talking about? And he was like...
What it comes down to is, like, Willow says, I let her be dead.
Yeah.
That's the moment when, and it's like, she feels all this guilt and she's white knuckling Tara, being like, as long as I remember her and as long as I keep her exactly where she was in my heart, then part of her is still alive. And then she kissed Kennedy and she's like, I let her be a dead person because right? Like, that's the only reason.
If I can have feelings for someone else, then those feelings were not just specifically for Tara.
Sure. Sure. So, that's what she's talking about. She's saying that's what she means, that she killed Tara for the final time. I really loved...
There's a scene, or there's a bit in that scene where, y'all know how I feel about Allison Hannigan crying. I can't take it. She's such a good crier. But Adam Bush, the way he does, he's
Willow's
like,
crying.
Yeah. He's like, come back, baby, come back. I didn't mean it. Come back. It's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it really it gets me every time I watch that episode. I do remember that. Like, every time I watch that episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so good.
Yeah.
It's very convincing. He's a very good actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see what Amber Benson sees in him.
Or saw in him. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
They dated for like 8 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's this whole thing, and Kennedy is like, I'm starting to understand this magic stuff, because based off of... This is another reason I really like Kennedy. She's smart. She sees solutions when they appear, where it's like, she says, I don't really understand magic, and then she sees this happen to Willow. She sees this transformation happen. She talks to Amy, realizes that it's all emotional, and she starts to understand how magic works.
Oh, and by the way, Amy says that the spell that she cast on Willow lets the
person who's hexed
subject choose their own punishment.
Yeah.
She does this horrible thing Kennedy was like, why did it happen when we kissed? And Amy's like, that's rich. And it's just like, Kennedy, or Amy, I want to shoot you in your face.
A la Terra.
A la Terra. Get gone.
So, so Kennedy is like, all right, this is super, like, it's based off of intention, you know? How do you feel? And how does that affect the effect of your magic, right? So she says, I'm starting to understand this magic stuff. And she kisses Willow again. And, Willow turns back into herself. So it's like, you're not doing... She also says some, like, comforting stuff. She's like, you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is all guilt-based, right? The reason she turned into Warren is because she killed Warren, and because she's feeling guilt about Terra, and Warren killed Terra. So obviously, it's she's going to turn into Warren. So, yeah, she turns back into herself, and that's how the episode ends.
It's nice because earlier in the episode, when Kennedy was faking sick, Willow was down in the kitchen getting her tea, and Buffy was teasing her. Buffy was like, you know, Kennedy, you've gotten really close to Kennedy, and Willow's like, she's just sick, I'm just taking care of her. And Buffy's like,
She says, it's just tea.
Yeah, and then she goes up to take it to Kennedy, and Buffy goes, have fun with your tea. And Willow's like, but then when they're going back inside the house
at the very end of the episode,
after Willow turns back into Warren, Willow goes, I'm so tired.
Willow turns back into herself.
Willow turns back into herself, and Willow goes, I'm so tired. And Kennedy goes, it's okay, I'll make you some tea. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's a very sweet ending.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like Kennedy. I like what they're doing. I like that this is part of the follow-through, you know? Like, yeah, they killed Terra for a plot point, and I know you're always going to have beef with that, and I have beef with that. But some stakes are bigger than others. But it's also like, you're allowed to move on. There are people who are going to help you move on.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be smooth sailing, but also nobody's going to judge you for it. And part of, like, they killed her for this plot device of furthering Willow's character. But I do think that they've done a good job following through with Willow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is kind of what we said at the beginning of this recording. Like, it's bringing up parts of the grief that you don't always think about, and the fact that it can be latent for so long, and like, is that the correct use of that word? I mean, like, dormant.
Yeah, latent. Okay.
Okay, cool. Fancy. So you can, like, have these feelings that are latent for so long, and then something will happen, and then you're like, I'm losing my mind, and I'm not really over this thing that happened, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I give it a 10.
You give it a 10.
I give it a 10. I think that everything they chose to do, they did effectively. I think that there was a lot of funny moments. I think that there were a lot of interesting moments. I think that it brought back some interesting things that I liked. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this episode, in my opinion.
Really? I mean, I don't have anything I can think of either. I was just
You said really, but like with a period instead of a question mark.
I'm going to give it a 9. I think it's very good, but it just doesn't have that extra 10 oomph for me, which is fine.
Man, I loved it. I texted Beth while I was watching it, and I was like, this is a good episode.
We try not to share our opinions before the, because it ruins the show, but she was just like, this is a good episode, and I was like, this is going to be a very interesting episode discussion.
That's what we usually do. That's what we usually do. And sometimes, like, when we watch really bad ones, remember that time I texted you and I said, do I really have to finish this piece of shit episode?
I would rather do anything than record this episode.
It was the one with the Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, do I really have to finish
this? Drew Greenberg product.
Oh, God, Drew. Listen, Drew, here's your 10. Take it with grace.
Take it with grace. Don't let it swell your ego.
Right.
You know?
We
all hit it out of the park every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really enjoying this season, dude.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are like, 7's okay. I'm like, 7's pretty cool. For a last season of a show, I think it's very cool. So,
yeah.
I'm psyched. Next episode, find out who Principal Wood is. Psyched about that. Buffy goes on a date with him. Love that. He's cute. Oh my God.
He is cute.
He's so cute.
He's been in another show that I've watched recently. Do you remember Forrest in season 4?
Uh-huh. Of course I do.
He's in The Magicians.
Really?
Yeah. He's in a pretty big
later
role.
In the show?
In season 2, I think.
Okay. I just started season 2 of The Magicians, so.
Well, you should keep an eye out for Warren. Keep an eye out for Forrest.
All right. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. We'll talk about season 7, episode 14 next. I don't know what it's called. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter @Buffy_speak for all our Buffy news. And we're also going to be sharing a GIF of Giles being tackled by all the second string.
If it doesn't exist, I'll make one.
Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome.
This is why. This is why we need you. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye.